Today I want to speak about the mitzvahs aseh. As we know, there are two mitzvahs los aseh in regards to achilas poel besada. The mitzvahs los aseh are on the poel. For simplicity's sake, let's just say for right now, there's one isser of elkel yuchal lo sitein, whatever that means, not to take too much, not to give to other people, the Rambam says. There's another isser of echermesh lo tanif, which, according to most shitas, is going to mean that you can't use the chermesh to cut off and therefore eat a lot at one shot, and there's probably will be what that's going to go to waste. We saw that the Rambam understands that isser differently, but what I'd like to speak about today is the mitzvahs aseh. Now the mitzvahs aseh, seemingly, is fundamentally different than the los aseh because it's addressing a different character in our story. Says the pasuk in the end of Ki Tetze, Ki Sovel Bekerem Re'echa, V'yachal Ta'anavim Kenaf Shecha Sovel'echa, V'alkel Yechal Lo Sitein, Lo Sovel Bekamas Re'echa, V'katavtem Elilos B'yadecha, V'chermesh Lo Tanef Alkamas Re'echa. Seemingly the Torah here is giving instructions to who? Who's the Torah giving instructions to, Yoshua? What? Who is the Torah giving instructions to? To the poel, to the worker. Very good, Alex. To the poel, to the worker. The worker's being told, when you go into the kerem of your re'acha, and you're going to eat the anavim, so you should be careful, don't put any into your bag, don't use the chermesh. The psukim here seem to be focused on the poel. And sure enough, the Rambam, mitzvah reish aleph, hu shit sivanu lihios hasachir ochel mehadover shiyavod bo be'es avodaso. At first glance, the Rambam learns that the pasuk is addressing the poel. The poel not only has two los aseis, he also has an assay. What's his mitzvah? Sivanu liosa sachir ochel mehadover shiyavod bo. That the sachir should eat from that which he's working, be'es avodaso. Kishahaya adover mechuber lekarka. When the thing that we're discussing is mechuber lekarka. Who amru yisale kisavo bekarem kisavo bekamos. Then the Rambam tells us, we've already learned in Bava Metzia, that from these two psukim we learn that a adam who's ochel b'mechuber lekarka b'shas malacha v'chule, that he has this inyan of eating. And then the Rambam goes out of his way and he says, and you can only learn this from both psukim. You can't learn it just from one pasuk. V'chule. So just first a few ha'aras here on the Rambam. As were pointed out in Seder, and as we've pointed out over the past two shiurim. First of all, the Rambam is a little bit of a pella because he says that the mitzvah is to eat b'shas malacha. We've already clarified that the shitas ha'Rambam is achar malacha. This is Rashi and Tosos b'shas malacha, while he's working. Sure enough, in the Rambam of Rav Chaim Heller, he translates it differently from the original Arabic, and he has the lashon b'shas gemar malacha. I have it right here.
I will leave it by my makam if you would like. We have the edition right here. I think we have it here. Right, I will locate it, and it's either in my house or it's here. I have to do a little bit of Seder of the Sfarim here. But Rav Chaim Heller in his translation goes back to Bishas Gemar Malacha, which would just work better with the Shita of the Rambam. That's Hara number one. Hara number two, the Rambam here says that the heter is to eat if you're working b'mechuber l'karka. And we all know from the Mishnah, the mitzvah is not only when you're eating b'mechuber l'karka, there's also a mitzvah when you're working with Tolish. Why does the Rambam only say b'mechuber l'karka? Sure enough, the Rambam in Mishnah Torah, in Hilchos Skiras Perek Yud Beis, says, b'ein b'tolish, b'ein b'mechubar. So why does the Rambam here focus only on mechubar? So we already suggested two shiurim ago that maybe the Rambam here is just addressing the Pasuk. In the Pasuk, it talks about mechuber l'karka. And therefore, the Rambam, that's like the paradigm. So he speaks about that. Even though in Achanami, in Torah Shebaal Peh, we learn that it's also referring to tolish. That's our number two. Our number three is, as Donnie and Yaakov pointed out during Morning Seder this morning, what does the Rambam mean here? That we can only learn this din, that you eat the mechuber l'karka, if we have both psukim. Doesn't the Gemara go through, they first suggest you need both psukim, but at the end of the day, remember there were five different suggestions in the Gemara in Pei Zayin and Beis. What was the maskana? We learn it from chermesh and kama. Chermesh and kama, those two words are in the same pasuk.
the second pasuk wasn't used, the pasuk of Kerem. The first pasuk of Kerem wasn't used to learn out this din. So it's a great question. Why does the Rambam say this? So that's what I thought. That what he meant was, what he means, the Rambam is that all of the dinim are learned out from these two psukim, and the two psukim are not to be looked at as two independent mitzvos, but we rather learn from one to the other. Meaning, we learn that the chiyuv is by mechubar. So the reason why Dani and Yaakov asked this is because it sounds like from the Rambam that the din that we eat, that you can eat from anything that's mechubar lakarka, comes from both psukim. So that's not true. We only learn that from one pasuk. So lechor, what the Rambam means is that all of the dinim that apply are learned out from the two psukim. Meaning, we have the other pasuk of kisavo bekarem. From there, we learn all of the other dinim. The only reason that pasuk is open is because we were able to learn the ikar din of eating mechubar lekarka from the second pasuk. Leaves the first pasuk open to learn all the other dinim. Those other dinim are then applied to what we've learned out from the second pasuk. So it means that both are necessary in order to get to this halacha. But Enoch and Ami, you shouldn't trigger in your head, like, wait a second, the Gemara was very clear that we don't need the first pasuk, we only need the second pasuk. You shouldn't get that confused. Okay. Those are just some general ha'aras in the Rambam here in Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Reish Aleph. What I'd like to speak about primarily today, though, is what is the essence of the mitzvah. And as I've already said, one could read the beginning of the Rambam to imply that the mitzvah is a mitzvah on the Sachir. Now, again, it's hard to make dukim in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. And even the Lashon is not fully glot if you want to say the mitzvah is on the Sachir. Why is it not fully glot? Because the Lashon is, we were commanded lihiot hasachir ochel, from that which he's working from. That the Sachir should be able to eat. Lihiot hasachir ochel. Is that a mitzvah that he shall eat? It's a mitzvah for the sachir to eat? If he doesn't want to eat, he has a mitzvah to go ahead and eat? That would be the extreme way of saying this. I would have thought that the Rambam would write, who should sivanu l'sachir lechol me'adover shi'avod bo? The lashon of lihios hasachir ochel already gives me a little bit of wiggle room. Again, Arabic, so I don't know exactly what the Rambam's original lashonos were. We'll have to check in Rav Chaim Heller, which... Yaakov doesn't believe that such a sefer exists. He thinks I made it up. It's like a figment of my own imagination, that anytime I have a problem with the Rambam, I just created the sefer that just erases all of the problems, and magically it just hasn't yet appeared in the Beis Medrash. But Mirtz Hashem, we will have that in the Beis Medrash. The Chinuch also, when he discusses this mitzvah, so the Chinuch also uses this lashon, says the Chinuch, Shinitztavu lihios hasachir ochel b'shas avodah me'adaber sheyavod bo. So also, one could start to make an argument that the mitzvah is on the poel to eat. The only reason why I'm really considering this as the mitzvah is because that would work out best with Pshuto Shel Mikra. The Pasuk says, when you are going, you will eat, just don't take into your bag, don't... Where is there a mitzvah in the Pasuk on anybody else but the poel? The entire Pasuk is towards the poel. Certainly the lavin are on the poel. So l'chora, the mitzvah saseh, is also on the poel. That's what you would think from Pshuto Shel Mikra. So that's why it's important to consider that the mitzvah is on the poel. But l'maisa, when you read the Rambam in Hilchos Schiros, so there isn't much room anymore to wonder of what the Shitas HaRambam is. We have a Rambam here, please. So the Rambam in Hilchos Schiros, thank you very much. Perek Yud Beis.
Halacha Aleph Mishpatim Schirus. Okay. Says the Rambam. Hapoim Vichulei Hare Al Bal Habayis Mitzvah. There's a mitzvah on the Bal Habayis. Shianiach Osan Lecho, to allow the workers to eat. Now, you will notice that if you look in the Rambam's Koteret, when the Rambam tells us in the very beginning of Hilchos Schiros, he tells you all the mitzvot he's going to discuss in Hilchos Schiros, the Rambam, and that was written by the Rambam here writes, Sheyochal hasachir min ha-mechubar she'osebo. Sheyochal hasachir. That was like the lush, remember when I said like, if the Rambam wanted to write this, this is what he should say. He should say, mitzvah l'sachir lechol. So here in the Koteret, the Rambam writes, sheyochal ha-sachir min ha-mechubar. That Lashon is a little bit, you know, you could say a few things in that Lashon. That the fourth mitzvah in Hilchos Chirus is sheyochal ha-sachir min ha-mechubar. That the sachir should eat. But again, in Svara, I don't think it makes so much sense. I mean, listen, if it's a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah. But that the mitzvah is that the mitzvah, Poel has a mitzvah to eat. So in the halachos here, it doesn't sound like that. When you read Perek Yud Beis of Hilchos Chirus, it says it's a mitzvah on the Baal Abayis, lehaniach, to leave. Again, leave here doesn't mean to leave like a little plate with food. It means to leave him to eat, means to let him eat. And seemingly from the Rambam, you get the impression that the mitzvah is on the Baal Abayis. It's not on the Poel. It's a mitzvah on the Baal Abayis. That's Ha'ara number one. Truth is, at the end of the Sefer HaChinuch, he's also mashma that way. Because at the end of the Sefer HaChinuch, thank you, the Sefer HaChinuch says, V'overal zeh, v'lo hiniach schiro lechol, a person who's over on this mitzvah and doesn't allow his worker to eat. Seemingly, what was the mitzvah? To allow your worker to eat. So, the first question we want to address is the mitzvah on the poel or is the mitzvah on the Baal Abayis? Lamrot, shepshuto shel mikra is mashma, that it's on the poel. The Rambam, I believe, says clearly in Hilchos Chirus that the mitzvah is on the Baal Abayis. That's issue number one. Issue number two I'd like to address now is, granted the mitzvah is on the Baal Abayis. Now that the mitzvah is on the Baal Abayis, what is the mitzvah? And here, we've already seen the Rambam. The Rambam sounds like this is a passive mitzvah. The mitzvah is to not prevent him from eating. To let him eat. Meaning, the food is yours. It's your food. But you should not do anything that's going to prevent him from eating. That's your mitzvah saseh. Your mitzvah saseh is to say, I am allowing him to eat. Now, whether that requires an action, like leaving the fence open, or telling him, like, by the way, you should feel free to eat whatever you want while you're working, you're my poel, that's my mitzvah, whether it requires some type of statement, right? We've seen this before, like there's a mitzvah of bechor. Now, a bechor is automatically kadosh. You don't have to do anything to make the bechor kadosh. But yet, anyway, we saw that there's an inyan for you to say kadosh. Now, there's other things that the mitzvah of bechor requires you to do. You have to bring it, but you have to give it, but there's an inyan, even though something's already done, to say something. So you could ask a question, does it require you to do something? Do you have to tell the poel, go ahead and eat? That's something that could be discussed. But we see from the Rambam, the mitzvah's on the Baal Abayis, and the mitzvah is seemingly a passive mitzvah. It's to allow him to eat. But that is your mitzvah saseh. And again, the lashon of the Rambam, to allow l'haniach, the poel, to eat while he's working. The question is this the only form that the mitzvah can take? Let me finish this point and then I'll take your questions. So, there is another way to formulate this mitzvah. The Gemara tells us, when it's darshaning the pasuk of Kisavo b'kerem re'echa, one of the drashas is, kerem re'echa v'lo shel hekdesh. The mitzvah to allow your worker to eat is only in a privately owned field. But let's say you are the gizbar of Kutchin. You work for the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash owns fields. So you are in charge of the field. Excuse me. And there are workers who are working in the field. Are the workers working in the field of Hekdesh allowed to eat from the field? Din is that they're not. Kerem Re'echa v'lo shel Hekdesh. So, the Rishonim ask, well, what was the Havamina? Why would I think it's Hekdesh? Why would I think that they're able to eat in Hekdesh? It's Hekdesh. Of course the Poelim aren't allowed to eat Hekdesh. It's Hekdesh. It's not owned by anybody. It's God's. Why should I think that there's a mitzvah for them to let them eat? Right? Again, this is a mitzvah not on the Poel that he has to eat. If it's a mitzvah on the Poel, I would say, listen, maybe the Poel is a mitzvah to eat everywhere. But this isn't a mitzvah on the Poel. It's a mitzvah on the Baal Abayis. So what, this is a mitzvah on God? What's going on here? This is the question that's asked. So, the Shita Mekubetz is quotes from Rabbi Yohanan son Miluniel. Rabbi Yohanan son Miluniel, one of the Rishonim, lived a little bit after the Rambam in Provence. So Rav Yehona's son, we have his Perish on Shasra, on the Rif, on a bunch of Masechtas. So Rav Yehona's son says that the Havamina is that maybe the Gizbar, the person in charge of Hekdesh's property, needs to take some food from the field, bepode it, take that money, buy fruits, or just give the money to the workers. Maybe there's a chiyuv to bepode in order to give it to the workers. Now, the Minchas Baruch from the Achronim asks on this Rabbeinu Yehona's son, what in the world are you talking about? That we had a havamina that the gizbar needs to be poed to produce in the field in order to give it to the workers. He says, Mela, I understand that you'd have a havamina like that by something like Reishis Hageis. What's Reishis Hageis? We've learned that already. First shearings, very good. First shearings of the sheep. So let's say the gizbar is watching sheep, holy sheep. Holy sheep of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, is there a mitzvah for him to shear the sheep and the first shearings to take those and give them to a Kohen? There, I would think that there's a Havamina that you would have to do that. You need to be poda the shearings in order to give them to the Kohen. Why? Because Reishis HaGeiz is a mitzvah nesina. There's a mitzvah to give Reishis HaGeiz. I, right now, here in Shalavim, I don't own any sheep. So I'm not being over on any assays by not giving sheep shearings to a Kohen. But if I want to be Mekayim the mitzvah is for me to go out and give shearings to a Kohen. So maybe I should go out and go get shearings in order to give them to a Kohen, because there's an active mitzvah called Nesinos HaGeiz, to give it. Right? However, why would you think that by a poel eating in the fields, asks the Minchas Baruch, we would have a havamina that you need to be poed to some of the fruits to give them to the worker? You don't have a mitzvah of nesina to give it to the worker. What's the mitzvah, the Rambam says? What's the mitzvah? That if he's working in your field, to let him eat. Okay, but I don't have a mitzvah nesina. I don't actually, while he's taking it, I don't like say, okay, I want to have my Eidim watch, I'm going to formally give it to you, right? When you're marrying a woman, there's a mitzvah nesina. You give her the kesef kiddushin. When you're giving to the Kohen, the Trumas and Maizos, you have a mitzvah to give it to the Kohanim, to the lady. You have a mitzvah nesina. Here, there's no mitzvah nesina, the Rambam said. You just have a mitzvah to not get involved. You have to let him eat passively. So what that and that the Minchas Baruch asks, what's Rabbi Yehonah's son talking about? But what does Rabbi Yehonah's son apparently hold? Or at least what is he suggesting the Havamina of the Gemara is holding? That there's actually an active mitzvah nesina. It's not like the Rambam says to passively allow the worker to eat. But rather, what's the mitzvah, Yoni? To actually go ahead and give it to him. You have a mitzvah nesina. So what we are suggesting is that even if we want to say that the mitzvah is on the balabayas, we could formulate the mitzvah on the balabayas in two ways. Either like the Rambam does, that it's a mitzvah on the balabayas, but it's a passive mitzvah on the balabayas. You just can't get involved and prevent him from eating. Or it's an actual active mitzvah to go ahead and to give it to him. To serve it to him, maybe. Maybe there would be a mila to not just like let him eat, but to actually feed your poel while he's working. You know, you come out there with your thing of lemonade and your cookies, and you go, okay, guys, you guys are working so hard. Here's your lemonade. Here's your cookies. Keep working. Great job. Right? Yeah, it happens sometimes. You're helping someone in the house, and like the mother will bring out like some cookies for the workers and say, here you go. And so is that the key of my mitzvah? When she does that, does she say, l'shem yuchad, I'm going to be mekayim the mitzvah of achilas poel? Or is achilas poel done by just relaxing on your couch, looking out the window, and saying like, oh, they're eating from my field. All right, I'm cool with that. I don't mind if they eat. It's my mitzvah to allow them to eat. So this is two ways that we can formulate it. The Rimi Luniel, yes. Hold on one second. Question?
Just as far as the way that we're raising this assay, isn't it really a low assay?
Good, we're going to get there in a second. We're going to get there soon, yes.
Especially the way that the Tashbates phrased it.
Oh, we're going to get to the Tashbates also in a second. So hold on. We're going to address it in a second. I'm not going to agree with what you're saying right now, but I am going to cover both points that you're raising, and you'll see if you agree with me or not. Natalia, you had a question before?
I was just saying, can you also use a raya that it was the placement of the Rambam's din also was where a poel is also it's mentioned somewhere that was next to the chiyuv of the other chiyuv of a baal to give to the guy right away.
Uh-huh.
So, the Rambam is very specific about where he puts things.
Uh-huh. Interesting. So let me just say your point and just elaborate for a second. The Rambam Sefer HaMitzvot, this is the introduction you were alluding to but just didn't say, the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvot doesn't follow any known order that we know of. Meaning, the Sefer HaChinuch goes based on the Parshios. So if you want to know where something is in the Chinuch, you just look up the Parsha where it appears. The Rambam Sefer HaMitzvot doesn't necessarily follow an order. It's not in chronological order. It's not in the order of the Torah. What is the Rambam? So the Rambam has some type of his own internal order to his mitzvos. See, there is definitely, and there have been people who have tried to like decipher like what exactly is the Rambam's structure for Sefer HaMitzvos. Like for instance, he certainly puts together all of the mitzvos that have to do with the Yomim Tovim are all together. Okay, here, I'm just like looking right here. Starting right here, Kufnun Dalet is Shabbos, Kufnun Hay is Kiddush, Kufnun Vav is Chametz, Kufnun Zayin is Sipur Yetzir Yisrael, Kufnun Ches is Matzah, Kufnun Tes is Isra Malacha, is the not to do Malacha on Pesach, Kuf Sam, you got the point. He puts all of the Moadim together. He puts the things that are connected to the Beis HaMikdash together. In the very, very beginning of Sefer Mitzvos, it sounds like he's doing like the Yisodim, the Yisodos of Judaism. So he starts with like belief in God and loving God and being Mekadei Shem Shemayim. Then he starts going to like Kriya Shema and Talmud Torah and Tefillin. There is some type of order here. And it's very interesting to try to figure out like what is the general order? How did he put things together? Yeah. So the Hakdama that I'm saying is that the Rambam's place, you can't just say, oh, this mitzvah follows this one because that's the order in the Parshios, in the Torah. Clearly there's some type of thematic connection between mitzvahs. That's your Hakdama. And now, Netanya was quoting from the Tashbates, that the Tashbates notes, he wasn't necessarily saying it for this reason, but you're taking his Haran, using it to make a different point, which is that in mitzvah Reish, is the mitzvah of the Balabayas to pay the Sachir on time. And then mitzvah Reish Aleph is the mitzvah to allow him to eat. Which with our mitzvah, which seemingly implies that maybe this section of mitzvos are the mitzvos of the balabayas klape his worker, and these are mitzvos on the balabayas, and this would just further support our idea that the mitzvah's on the balabayas and not on the poel. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah.
Okay, good, excellent. Hold on 1 second, Rav Yaakov.
Can't we just say though that according to the Mandat of the Minchas Baruch that says that you have to be passive and you don't tell him. Isn't there then...
The Rambam.
Yeah. Isn't there then a suffix of maybe it could become gezel if he takes something that you don't want him to take?
What do you mean if he takes something you're not... Meaning you have to allow him to take it.
Even if it's something that you like don't want him to take.
You have to give it to him. When you buy something off me, you buy my car off me for $1 million, I would love, or you would love to get the car and not have to give me $1 million. Or I would love to get your $1 million and not give you the car. Right? I would love to get your $1 million and not give you the car. But that's what happens when you have a deal.
And is the food considered a payment for him? Or
it's a different discussion we're going to get to. Rabbi Yaakov.
So it's like Rabbi's main point about why it's not why it's on the Baal and not it's on the Sachir. That doesn't make sense that it's on the Sachir.
That in terms of Svara, that's if we want to talk about Svara. In terms of like the Rishonim, it sounds like that's what the Rishonim are saying.
Besides
the Rambam's initial three words in Sefer HaMitzvos. In Mishnah Torah, it's very clear that it's on the Baal HaBayis. Right.
I'm sorry. I thought that maybe the Sefer HaChinuch Shoresh Mitzvah has what's the point of...
Oh, very nice. Yeah, what does he say?
So even though in the Skana and the Dinim, he does say that the whole point is that the Baal has to leave it over. When the Shoresh, he says his reason is that... what did he say?
I thought this is a Raya.
Shilamin is B'nai Yisrael, Lios Lam, Nefesh Yafeh, Ratzon Tov. So even if the poel has a mitzvah to eat, that still accomplishes that goal. But the Baal HaBayis will still be a refined Jew and refined character.
Well, I was going to say, I love your ha'ara, but I'm going to use it fakert. I'm going to say that tell me if I'm wrong. The Sefer HaChinuch says the shorish of the mitzvah is to teach you to be generous and to lead you to be easygoing, meaning to teach who? The Baal HaBayis.
Yeah, I think that works even if the poel even if it depends on the poel, it still accomplishes the goal.
It still accomplishes it, but the focus of the mitzvah is that the balabayis should learn to be a generous guy and not to be medaktik in your poel, and if he's working for you, let him eat a little bit, be easygoing.
I'm trying to use that as smara, it works more for the balabayis.
Right, right, right. And it makes sense that that, right. Okay, good. Yadar? You said something a second ago.
Yeah, I mean, you can say the same thing even just the same way that we're learning right now. You can get the values out of it. I don't think it...
100%, yes. Yes. Excellent. Yes.
Building off what Zani said, are you allowed to tell somebody, like, don't take from these specific fruits, like this row?
No. No, he said he's allowed to even wait for the yafos we saw in the Mishnah yesterday. That he's allowed to, no, he's allowed to wait to take from the yafos. You got it, you got it. Very good. Okay.
You don't need to explain the joke, bro.
Go ahead. Yeah. Just to show that that's like a classic situation where there's a mitzvah nesina, and there would be avamina, maybe that you would still need to do it even by an animal that's hektish. But in our case, if we're talking about this. Well, we know it's the middle of a piece. We're just looking at one paragraph in the middle of a piece. Yeah. A longer discussion. No, you there. I understand, guys. There, I understand that there's a. It was Larry's fault, no? There, I understand that there's a mitzvah nesina, because that's clearly a nesina oriented mitzvah. But what is that? But why would you ever think that there's a mitzvah nesina by allowing your worker to eat? There's no mitzvah nesina there. Right, exactly, right, yeah. And Rabbi Yonasan, the Rimi Lunil. He doesn't understand where the Rimi Lunil is coming from, and we're saying, you know where the Rimi Lunil is coming from? Because he's learning there's a mitzvah nesina. Okay. There's another shita, and that's the Tashbetz, as was already alluded to. The Tashbetz quotes the Rambam and disagrees with the Rambam. And the Tashbetz says, I don't know why the Rambam is counting this as a mitzvah. This is not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah to let him eat. What kind of mitzvah is that? Let him eat. In a Hanami, if you learn like the Rimi Lunil, where there's a mitzvah to give it to him and to serve him, that's one thing. But the idea of letting him eat, that's not a mitzvah. What is it? It's a matir. It's not a mitzvah. It's a matir. It's an allowance. Like, let me give you another example. Is there a mitzvah to shecht an animal? Or shechita is matir, the animal, to be eaten. A matir. It's matir, the animal, to be eaten. It's not a mitzvah. Listen, there's no mitzvah to shecht. There's no mitzvah to eat meat. If you want to eat meat, there's something you got to do in order to be able to eat meat. You have to be matir the animal. Right now the animal's usher, it's Avram and Achai, it's alive. There's a certain, and if you shoot it in the head, it'll become usher to eat. But if you shecht it, that will be matir to eat. Now it's not a perfect comparison, but just to get your head working in the right way, says the Tashbetz, this din is not a mitzvah, this is a heter. It's telling the worker, you're allowed to eat, and it's not considered gezela. It's not a mitzvah. It's a heter from the isser of gezela.
Why would I let my worker eat then? What's the point of me?
So, Einochanami, you want to say that maybe according to him, if you prevent the worker from eating, if you prevent him from eating, so maybe you haven't done an aveira, you want to say. So this is going to be a question on where does the mitzvah fall on? Whose mitzvah is it?
Well, where's the finish? Why would I think that I'm not able to?
What do you mean? Why do you have to feed them at all? It's a mitzvah. So he's saying it's not a mitzvah. It's a heter on the workers that the workers are allowed to eat. In a Hanami, let's just, if we wanted to really like think outside the box, maybe the Tashbetz is saying that if you want to stand there all day with a machine gun and tell anyone, don't you dare eat, you could do that if you want. It's no isser. And what the Torah is telling us is that, but if you're a worker, and you know, you're working for hours and hours in the guy's field. He's off in the, you know, you're out in the plantation in the field. He's like living in like the big mansion. And he's like sitting there all day in his house. You're out in the fields and you're hungry. So you want to take a bite. So the Torah's telling me you're allowed to. If he stops you, he could stop you if he wants. But if he's not stopping you, you're allowed to eat. And maybe he can't even say, don't eat. Because you're allowed to eat. It's not gezel. It's a heter for the workers that the workers are allowed to eat, and it wouldn't be gezela for them to eat. This is how the Tashbetz formulates things. Now, one of the reasons I like it is it works nicely with the Pshuto Shemikra. that the Torah is not telling me a mitzvah on anybody, but the mitzvah is telling the workers that if you're working, you're allowed to eat, and there's no Isser Gezela here. It would fit very, very nicely in what's going on here. Okay. This is how the Tash Bates learns things. Obviously, he's a renegade, or he's a maverick in terms of the other Rishonim, because all the other Rishonim and Chazal seem to learn it as a mitzvah. Seem to learn that this is a mitzvah. But the Tash Bates suggests that this is a not an actual mitzvah, but it's, you know, I shouldn't say Chazal. Chazal learned the dinim. They don't necessarily say that it's a mitzvah. That's how the Tash Bates formulates things. Now, the Tash Bates thinks that he has a raya. And I want to take 5 minutes to just go through his raya, even though it's a little bit involved and it's a little bit complicated, but I would like to try to go through his raya. Now, if you don't get the raya, it's okay. We'll keep going with shir and everything's going to be fine. But I would like to try to handle the raya for 1 second, because it's an interesting raya if we're able to halt cup for what's going on here. This is the Tash Bates trying to bring a raya that it's just a heter. So the Tash Bates, what was that? We're going to try to finagle a little bit. What does finagle mean? We're gonna work it a little bit. Yeah, we're gonna like in a when you're in the shuk and you're trying to get you never heard that expression? Like,
I've heard it.
You're gonna handle the guy a little bit, right? Okay, so we're gonna try to. You're gonna see. We're gonna need to like massage it. We're gonna massage it a little bit here, because there's a bunch of there's different ways that you can read this. But there is a very fundamental question. Not fundamental, but there's a very good question in terms of pshat in the Gemara here. Everything's all right? Okay, good. So the Gemara here says, Reacha. It says when you're going, Bekerem Reacha, Velo Shel Hektish. Sorry, Velo Shel Goy. The din applies in your field, in your friend's field, and not in the field of a goy. Now the question is, what din? What din? For simplicity's sake, let's say that we could have two possible possibilities. Either the, let's call it for now, the mitzvah, or the heter, the allowance for the poel to eat. The allowance for the poel to eat is only if you're in your friend's field, but not in a goy's field. In a goy's field, you can't eat. In a goy's field, you can't eat. This is the way that the Tash Bates learn the Gemara. The Gemara is talking about the allowance to eat. So the Tash Bates says, well, let's see, what's going on here? So the Gemara says, in your friend's field, and not in the field of a kuti, not in the field of a kuthian. So now the Gemara says, wait a second. Hanicha, I understand that this makes sense, that the Torah needs to spend words and teach a drasha, right? The Torah doesn't use words if it doesn't need them. So we're teaching a drasha. I understand that the Torah is teaching a drasha. Follow along in the Gemara, Pei Zayin Amud Beis. I understand that the Torah needs to teach a drasha if you hold that generally it's usher to steal from a kuthian. Generally, it's usher to steal from a kuti. And therefore, what would I have thought? If I'm working in my friend's field, I'm allowed to eat. If I'm working in a Gentile's field, what should be the din? Seemingly, if we hold that it's usher to steal from a kuthian, and I'm working in a kuthian's field, am I allowed to eat? Seemingly, I would think I'm not. So what does the Gemara say? Hani chalaman de amar gezel kuti aser hainu de itzdrich krol mishrei poel. If generally it's aser to eat in somebody's field, so I understand that the Torah comes and tells me when you're in a Jew's field, you're allowed to eat. When you're in a Gentile's field, you're not allowed to eat. What was that? It's to be machalik, meaning you're always not allowed to eat in other people's fields. That's an iser. Doesn't matter if it's Jew or Gentile. You're not allowed to eat in anybody's field. That's stealing. So comes along the Torah and says, Bekerem Reacha, there's an allowance. But not Bekerem Shel Goy. Bekerem Shel Goy, you're not allowed to eat. That makes sense if there's an iser to take from a goy. But if you hold mutter, If you hold that you're allowed to take from a goy, so then why do we need a drasha to tell me you're allowed to eat in a Jew's field, but not in a Gentile's field? Don't big chiddush, you're allowed to eat in a Jew's field. What do you mean? I'm also allowed to eat in a Gentile's field. Because I'm always allowed to take from a Gentile. Gezel akum is mutter. So what's this big drasha coming and telling me? That's what the Gemara says. That's the flow of the Gemara. Okay? Hanicha, if you hold that Gezel Goy is usser, I understand why there's a pasuk and a drasha, because we need to be mechalik between Jew and Gentile. But if you hold that a Goy, you're allowed to take from a Goy, so then you still need to be told that you can eat in a Jew's field, but not lafuke, a Gentile's field. Remember, the pasuk says you can eat in a Jew's field. Okay, leave it alone. The Torah says you can eat in a Jew's field. But Chazal come and make a drasha. Yeah, Jew and not Gentile. What do you mean, Jew and not Gentile? That only makes sense if there's an isser to eat in a Gentile's field. Then you're coming and telling me you're allowed to eat in a Jew's field. You're not allowed to eat in a Gentile's field. But if anyway I'm allowed to eat in a Gentile's field, there's nothing to talk about here. So this is how the Tashbetz read the Gemara. And the Tashbetz points out that seemingly the whole discussion here is, are you allowed or are you not allowed? It's all about heter, not about mitzvah. The lashon of the Gemara is, it's strichkra lemishrei poel. That's what the Gemara says. The pasuk is matiring a poel in a Jew's field. It sounds like from the Gemara that the issue that's being handled, the issue that's being discussed, the issue that's being tugged at here is there an allowance or is there not an allowance? And therefore the Tashbetz thinks this is a raya for his opinion, that the issue here is just one of whether it's mutter or not. However, other Rishonim read this Gemara differently, and if you read the Gemara differently, you no longer have a raya. So, for instance, the Ritva reads it in the same way that the Tashbetz does, but the Ritva says that the factor, the way he sticks it in, is the factor that's being matured is the mitzvah. The mitzvah is the factor that's matured. Why is it allowed? What do you mean, why is it allowed? It's allowed to eat there because there's a mitzvah. He has a mitzvah to let you eat there, so you're allowed to eat there. Well, just because the discussion is, are you allowed to eat there, doesn't mean it didn't come from a mitzvah. That's how the Ritva does it. But Rashi is more significant. Rashi actually reads the Gemara in a totally different way. The Gemara is not talking about the allowance to eat and the mitzvah of Poel is allowed to eat in the field. It's actually talking about the iser of v'elkel yecha lo sitein. Rashi goes out of his way to say we're talking about v'elkel yecha lo sitein. And what's going on here? That the Torah is saying v'kerem re'acha, there's an iser to take and to store away and to take more than what you need to take. However, in the field of a goy, there's no iser. Take as much as you want in the field of a goy. And now the Gemara comes and says, that only makes sense if generally you're not allowed to take from a goy. So then it makes sense that the Torah is coming and telling me, a poel is allowed to take as much as he wants. But in a Jew's field, you can't take home. But in a goy's field, you can take home. That only makes sense if generally you're not allowed to take from a goy. But if generally you are allowed to take from a goy, so don't come and tell me the limitation on taking is only by a Jew and there's no limitation by a goy. What do you mean there's no limitation by a goy? Of course there's no limitation. I can always just take from goy. So that's the way Rashi reads the pasuk, and if you the Gemara, and if you read it like that, it has nothing to do with what the Tashbetz is talking about. So the point, and this was the complicated point, the point here in terms of just reading the Gemara is, was the drasha of Kerem Re'acha v'lo shel goy, was that talking about the mitzvah of Achilas Poel? Or was that talking about the Isser of Elkel Yechol Lo Sitein? And based on which way you learn, it's going to have an impact about whether you brought a Raya or not for the Tashbetz. Yeah?
So the Ritva spins it into a Raya the other way.
Yes. It doesn't become a raya. It's just that he shows you that you can read it, even the way that the Tashbetz wants to read it, it's not necessarily a raya that the only factor that we're discussing is heter. In other words, let's say like this. One who reads the Gemara like the Tashbetz
is not forced into the corner to say that there's no mitzvah. Because look, sure enough, the Ritva read it like the Tashbetz, but he still seems to think that there's a mitzvah here. So don't think that if you read it like the Tashbetz, you're locked into thinking that it's a heter and not a mitzvah.
And then Rashi just
reads it totally differently. Right. Okay, yeah. Well, I think that Rashi still agrees to that because that's what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says you're not allowed to put it into your bag. It's just that Chazal then are Doresh from there. Also, we learn from there that it's only B'shas Kel Yechal. It's not also, in other words, what Rashi would actually hold is the lav of the Pasuk. He might not disagree with the Rambam. He might learn two things from the Pasuk. He learns that the Isser of El Kel Yechal, you can't put something away. But in addition to that, he learns that we can be medayik from the context of El Kel Yechal, that we're talking about Shas, the Shah, that you're putting things into your bag, which is including the time of reaping. Okay. I want to just discuss one last Shita. I just don't want to run out of time. Is it a quick question? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
The way the Ritva reads is just like the Rambam?
What do you mean? The way that the Ritva reads it would work nice. Would work fine with the Rambam. Yeah, for sure.
Not has to.
What do you mean? Has to? I mean, why can't he read it like Rav Yonasan? Wait, you're saying? Rambam lafuke who? When you say like? Yeah, he's reading like the Rambam. L'chori, he's reading like the Rambam, not like the Tashbetz. Yes. Well, it's not. I don't know why you say it's a raya.
The Rambam reads it being.
It's just
the Gemara.
Not
reads the Gemara like the Ritva.
That's how the Rambam would read the Gemara, but it's not like the Gemara is like it's not only the Rambam lafuke the Tashbetz. It's just the Rambam needs to be able to read the Gemara. This is how he would read the Gemara.
It's saying mitzvah, not heaven.
That's the Ritva's. The Gemara doesn't say mitzvah. The Ritva is explaining the Gemara lafi the way the Rambam would understand it. Okay, one last thing, and this is the tour. And okay. This is Yaakov's. This is going to be. Significant for what Yaakov brought up before. The Tor here has a very interesting line that the Mishnah Lamelech is Medayikin. Mishnah Lamelech is a perish on the Rambam, but he comments here on the Tor. Now he's not in the book of the Tor, but he's commenting as the Tor says. The Tor here writes, thank you very much. The Tor says, if you're chosem the animal, if you're chosem the worker, if you muzzle him, you don't allow him to eat, so then you're potter from the isser. Oh, Yaakov, perfect. You're potter from the isser. The Torah says that if you block the person from eating, so you're potter, and says the Torah, what do we mean that you're potter? You're potter from Malkus, but you're still over on the isser. So the Bach jumps on the Torah and says, what's going on here? If you stop the guy from eating, you've been over on the Isser, you're just not going to get Malkus. What does that sound like? It sounds like there's a lav here on the Baal HaBayis. The Baal HaBayis has a lav. He's not allowed to stop the guy from eating. Like, just like you have an animal. You have a lav by your animal. You're not allowed to muzzle your animal. It sounds like the Torah is saying there's a lav on the person and on the Baal HaBayis. And if you muzzle your worker, not necessarily with a physical muzzle, but you prevent him from eating. So you've been over on the lav, but you don't get Malkus. And the Ramah says, yeah, you know why you don't get Malkus? Because there's a Chiyuv Tashlumin, and asks the Bach, what is the Torah talking about? What lav? There's no lav. We've got two lav, and it's true, but those are on the Poel. On the Baal HaBayis, all we have on the Baal HaBayis is maybe an Aseh. So what is the Torah talking about? Oh, you've been over on the Isser, you just don't get Malkus. So says the Mishnah Lamelech, what this obviously means, right? This is the second time we've had this before in this sugya. What do I mean? The second time we've had this, where somebody's asking a kasha on a rishon, as if like, what are you talking about? And the answer is, well, that's what he holds. What do I mean by that? The Bach here asks on the tour, why are you saying there's a lav? What lav? So the Mishnah says, you know what that means? The tour learns that there's a lav. What's the lav? This thing that you've been calling an assay, it's not really an assay. It's really a lav. As Yaakov had asked before, Yaakov said, I don't understand. You're telling me that the Baal HaBayis has a mitzvah to be passive and let the guy eat. So what mitzvah is there? What mitzvah are you doing? You're not doing anything. You're not shaking a lulav. You're not even saying anything. What are you doing? Doesn't that basically mean, Yaakov was sort of asking, doesn't that basically mean that it would be an avera for you to stop him from eating? So we know sometimes we have assays that are written as assays, but they're really lavs. What are those called? Lavs that are written as assays. Those are called iser assays. Lav haba michal assay. An iser assay is a category of assays. They're written as assays, but they're really lavs. I gave you an example before, perhaps. It's a discussion. Shechita. Torah says, mitzvah to do shechita. Now, what does that mean, as a mitzvah to do shechita? It means I have a mitzvah to run around and catch cows and shech them. That's my mitzvah. Like, I really need to do a mitzvah today. Come, let's run down to the refet and get some cows and shech some animals. No. The Torah is telling me that there's an iser to eat an enashchuta. There's an iser to eat an animal if you haven't shechted it. I know we discussed earlier, maybe it's just a matir. Okay, these are all different opinions about shechita, but I'm just trying to give you an example of an iser asay. Says the Mishnah Lamelech, this is not an assay. This is an iser assay. What's the nafka mina if something's a lav or an iser assay? Malchus. You don't get malchus if it's an iser assay. So Mishnah Lamelech says that that's how the Torah learned the mitzvah. That the mitzvah is not an essay, but rather it is a los essay, which is just garbed as an essay. It's what we call an iser assay. And let me just, I want to focus here on two shitas, just to give you a very nice parallel to something that we discussed a few weeks ago, in order to just maybe flesh this out a little bit more. We saw a discussion in Rav Chaim about Tashbisu, the mitzvah of Tashbisu. The Torah tells you, Tashbisu se'or mibateichem. You have a mitzvah to destroy your chametz. So we said that Rav Chaim suggested that there might be a machlokas tanoim if this is a mitzvah essay, or if it's an iser essay. If you hold it's a mitzvah essay, like Rav Yehuda, Rav Chaim wants to suggest, there's a mitzvah to destroy your chametz. When you're burning your chametz, you're doing a mitzvah. Says Rav Chaim, but according to the Rabbanan, there's no mitzvah to destroy your chametz. What's the mitzvah? To not have chametz. Nafkamina? Should I go out, if I don't have chametz, should I go out and buy chametz in order to destroy it? If you learn like Rav Yehuda, what's the din? Yeah, go out and buy chametz. Because when you destroy your chametz, you're being mekayim a mitzvah. And if you don't go out and have any chametz, you're not going to be mekayim a mitzvah. But according to the Chachamim, if you don't have any chametz, you are already mekayim the mitzvah. The mitzvah is a state mitzvah. To be in a matzav of not having chametz. If you don't have chametz, you are mekayim the mitzvah. It's a passive mitzvah. It's to get somewhere. It's to not have chametz. And then after Mina Wash, you go out and buy chametz. So this is, we can have the same machlokas by us here. Rav Yehona's son, the Rimi Luniel held, there's a mitzvah to go out and to give him food. It's an active mitzvah. Go out and give him food.
You have to hire workers.
And therefore, if you have a worker, it's not enough to just sit back and let him eat. It's a mitzvah to go out and to give him food. You want to know, okay, what about a stage before that? Is there a mitzvah to go out and get a worker in order? Okay, so that's already another stage. But certainly, if you have a worker, Rav Yehona's son would hold, you can't just sit back in your house and let him eat. You have a mitzvah. Go out and feed him. But according to the Torah, feed the Mishnah Melech, there's no active mitzvah. In fact, there's no mitzvah at all. It's an iser asay. It's an iser to prevent him from eating. But if you just sit back and let him eat, that is the mitzvah. So that, and that's what Yaakov brought up before, it's a question of how different is that from what we were saying in the Rambam earlier. That the mitzvah is on the Baal HaBayis, but it's a passive mitzvah. What do you mean it's a passive mitzvah? You mean that it's usher to prevent him from eating. So we have five possible, and we'll end with this, we do have five possible ways to understand the mitzvah saseh, and I'll use mitzvah saseh in quotes, because a bunch of them don't count it as a mitzvah saseh. Five different ways to understand this mitzvah saseh. Five, which might be four. Way number one, it's a mitzvah on the poel to eat. That was one suggestion. Suggestion number two, it's a mitzvah on the Baal HaBayis, but passive. Now that might be the same as the tour that it's an iser aseh. Way number three, the Rimi Luniel, it's a mitzvah on the Baal HaBayis, and it's an active mitzvah to go ahead and give it to him. And way number four is the Tashbetz. It's not even a mitzvah. It's just a heter. In order to make it that there's no gezel. So four, if not five, we've discussed five, but those five might be four. Different ways to look at the mitzvah's essay, in quotes, of Achilas Poel. Have a great day. How many people worked on that last Makoto sheet of Michel Olam and Michel Halfway? Anybody finish it? Okay, so I think we'll start with it tomorrow, and then we'll probably start with it and then go on to a new sugya.
When the touch base is formula, this question gets through.